We walk through this life and we have needs, and needs arise because life is filled with complexity, is it not? I need to make a decision about a job change or a move. I need to make a decision about whom to marry. I need to make a decision about difficulties that come into my life that become a challenge. Could be a problem with a child. Could be a problem with a relationship. Could be a problem with work. I need to make a decision. And it's rather important that the decision be a good one, that it be a right one. And so therefore, God invites us to come to him and to receive guidance with every sphere of our lives, not just the biggie decisions, but even small decisions. God wants to be involved in our lives and to guide us. He planted us on this earth. He has a plan for us as we live our lives on this earth. And so it only makes sense that he would want to be involved in guiding us along the way, and he invites us to do just that. And so we pray, and we discern what God might be saying to us through having eyes of faith to be able to see that which is around us, and we discern that God is speaking to us. But how do we know for certain that this is God speaking? I receive an impression that this is where God is leading. How do I know that it truly is inspiration and it's not temptation, namely that which comes from Satan seeking to lead us away from the path of life rather than onto it? Or how do I know that it's not manipulation? It's me speaking to myself because this is what I really want, which is a temptation for me. I don't know about you. How can we know the difference? We bring to him concerns, and then we look for the answer. We look for God to speak. You know, I've thought over my life, instances that I could give as examples, and I could give so many examples that we'd be here until the snow stops, which wouldn't be a good thing for you. Be very interesting, but not very beneficial, maybe. And what came to mind was the move from my second church, which was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the move from Pittsburgh to Spokane. I don't know if you know the map very well, but the distance between Pittsburgh and Spokane is great. And we were praying about where God might lead us for our next phase of ministry. And we were pursued heavily from a church in Anchorage, Alaska. And I was open to that and prayed about that. Chris said, if I go, I go alone. So she wasn't quite open to that possibility. She sensed, I guess, deeply God was saying no. I think there was a little manipulation there. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that for sure. But this church in Spokane, Washington, was talking to us, and I've always been of the order of living life and saying, you know, that I will pursue anything that God might present before me until he closes the door. I don't want to do that on my own because I know that I'm so prone to doing that. And so we talked with this church in Spokane, Washington, and it was mildly interesting, and they invited us to come out, and so Chris and I got on a jet, and we flew to Spokane. And as we were landing, this will be seared in my mind until the day I die, is that as we were landing, I said to Chris, there is no way that we're moving to Spokane, but we've never been here, so let's enjoy the weekend. Okay? 36 hours later, Chris was on the phone with her mother crying because we were going to be leaving our two oldest children who were in college in Pennsylvania because it was as dominant a speaking of God to us that this indeed is what God wanted, and we both knew it for sure, that we were already planning for the next phase, and that was to come to Spokane. And here's a little caveat. I hadn't been offered the job. But we were so certain that God had spoken in those 36 hours that totally turned us away from what we thought was going to take place, that it was a certainty. We knew that God spoke. How do you know when it's God speaking, when it's Satan speaking, and when it's you speaking? Pretty important question. God told me. Have you ever heard that phrase? Have somebody said, God told me to, and then finish the sentence. Man, that's a dangerous one. God told me to do this. God told me to do this. God told me to say this. I'm always leery when you hear it. You know, we hear it all over the place. In fact, President Bush. God told me to end the tyranny in Iraq. Okay? Then there's a Bernie Schwartz who God told me he's never talked to this George Bush guy in his life. Then there's a 1976 film, God told me to kill. And how often have we heard of atrocities that take place? A woman in Texas who kills her children and says, God told me to do it. A young man in New York who kills his parents and says, God told me to do it. Did God tell him to do that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so what's important for us is to, in our lives, to discern how to know when God told me to do something and to be able to distinguish between that and when Satan told me to do something or when I'm telling myself to do something. It's so very, very important. The fact is, one moment it could be Satan talking to you, one moment could be God talking to you, another moment you're talking to yourself. Here's what Scripture says in 1 John 4, verse 1. It says, don't believe everything you hear just because somebody says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. Notice, test it first to see if it really is. And that's what we're going to look at today. You pray for guidance, you sense an answer. How do you know when it's God talking to you? There are five tests that you can apply that will give you some certainty as to if you're hearing from the voice of God. The first test is this, the absolute most important test of all. Does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? That's the first way that you can test an impression, a leading, a sense of guidance that you're receiving. Does it agree with the Bible? Because of this. God will never contradict what he's already said in his word. The Bible is God's word given to us over thousands of years, and God will never tell you to violate a principle that is in this, because God is consistent. So he'll never tell you to ignore what he's already said. He'll never tell you to deny what he's already said. He'll never tell you to contradict what he's already said. The Bible says this in Luke 21. It said, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And again in Proverbs 12, it says, truth stands the test of time. Now, what does that mean? That means if it's true, it's always been true, and it always will be true, because truth is not new. If it's new, it's not truth, because truth has been around forever. If it was true 2,000 years ago, it was true 4,000 years ago, it was true 1,000 years ago, it was true 50 years ago, it's true today, and it will be tomorrow. Fads change, therapies change, trends change, popular opinion change, even science changes. And let me give you one that just really fries me. Pluto is no longer a planet. Now, what is that about? Pluto has lost its lofty place of being a giant in our solar system. On August 24th, 2006, members of the International Astronomical Union voted to strip Pluto of its planetary status, and now it's a dwarf planet. I was tested on this stuff in school, and now I got to unlearn it. Because science changes. And I'm not the only one that's a little upset. Patricia Tomba, you probably don't know who this is. She's 93 years old, and she's the widow of Clyde, who in 1930 discovered Pluto. And she said, it's disappointing in a way and somewhat confusing. Well, it is. Fads change, trends change, even science changes. But guess what? God's word says that God never changes his mind. God doesn't say, you know, I changed my mind. I don't really believe that anymore. If God says it in the Bible, then it's true today. For instance, God, in his word, says pay your taxes. Now, when you come to April 15th and you pray, and you say, I got an impression. I got a leading. I could just shave off a little bit here and save some money. Well, that idea does not come from God. Because God's pretty clear that we need to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God's. That true was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. God would not contradict what he's already said. If the Bible says, and it does, that you should be honest and fair in your business dealings, then if you pray and you figure out a way to make a little bit more money by cutting corners ethically, then that is not a message that you're receiving from God. God does not contradict himself. He meant it then, he means it now. In fact, Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, said, even if I contradict the Bible, do not listen to me. Here's what he says in Galatians 1, verse 8. It says, let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message. In other words, other than the Bible. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. Do you know what? Do you know what is common with cults? Is that they have to add something to the Bible. Many of the cults that exist today claim that an angel came and said, the Bible's not enough. You need another book, too. And here it is, another revelation. And guess what? They are wrong. The Bible is true. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message. Even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. The fact of the matter is, God's word is true. So the first test is that I say, does what I'm receiving match up to the Bible? The vast majority of God's will for our lives is in the Bible. And it becomes our gauge. Does that make sense? Test number one, does it agree with the Bible? Test number two, does it make me more like Jesus? Does it make me more like Jesus? Does this impression, does this leading, if I follow through on it, will it make me more like Christ? Because Jesus is the standard by which you measure all the ideas, all the impressions that come into your mind. God's goal is to make us to be like Jesus. The number one goal that God has for our lives is that we would become like Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Now, if that's God's goal for our lives, and it is, then he obviously would not put an impression in our lives, a leading in our lives, that would lead us in a direction opposite of the major goal that he has set for us. He wants our character and our actions to be like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. That's the goal. So the impression we get, the leading that we get, the guidance that we get should help us to become obedient to Christ, to answer that question you've heard a lot of times, what would Jesus do? To act like Jesus would act in a certain circumstance of life is the way that God will lead us, the way that God will direct us. Would you like a checklist? I'll give you one. There is a checklist. It's in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. It's a great checklist. It's good to have with you any time that you're making a decision. It tells you how to know if something is an impression from God or is not an impression from God when it comes to what it does with our character. The verse starts out by saying, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom is of the devil. It just comes flat out and says, hey, guess what? If you sense God leading you and what it produces is bitter envy and selfish ambition in you, that is not from God. That's a good checklist to use. And you might want to look at that later on today. But let's look at the positive side, because it also tells us how to know if it is an impression of God. And it says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. Here you got a checklist. Seven things that you can use to gauge whether the impression, the leading, the guiding, the guidance that you sense is from God, if it really is from God. Is it pure? Now, if it's impure, obviously that's not from God. Now, that may sound pretty simple, but you wouldn't believe how many people I meet that are trying to convince themselves that an impure impression is somehow from God. It's called justification, and we all are good at it. Is it pure? Is this sensing that I'm getting, this impression that I'm sensing from God, is it pure? Keep on going down the list. Is it peace-loving? God's going to give impressions and leading and guidance that promote harmony and not conflict. That's what he says. Is it considerate? When God gives you an impression, he's concerned about the impact that your impression, your leading, the guidance that you are receiving, the impact that that's going to have on somebody else. Is it going to hurt somebody else's life? He's not going to give you an impression of leading that is going to hurt somebody else. Is this impression something that will help me to yield to others? It's called submission, a dirty word in our culture. That's not a word that we use very much. It means humble, means teachable. It's not arrogant. If you've really heard from God, then you're not going to be afraid to test that leading by sharing it with others and getting their input on it. You yield yourself to others. If it was God's idea anyway, and not your idea, so what you need to share it. On the other hand, have you ever met anybody that's prideful and arrogant and won't listen to anybody else's suggestion? Well, then you can pretty much guess that they're not real concerned about receiving God's ideas. They've got their own ideas, and it's not about God's ideas. And how about we keep going? Is it full of mercy? That's how you know if it's an impression of God. Now, this is an important one. Because I've met a lot of people who think they have been impressed by God, and yet they're the most judgmental, condemning, negative people. I've met some preachers like that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those people have not heard from God. They've heard from their own prejudices, their own anger. Because if you really hear from God, according to James, it fills your heart with mercy, with grace. How about is it impartial? Is it sincere? You don't try to manipulate others and control others. These seven things are almost a checklist to say, is this consistent with what God would want to do in me to make me more like Jesus? Does this leading, does this guidance that I'm sensing, does it square up with these seven things? Third, this might kind of surprise you. Does my church family confirm it? Does my church family confirm it? First, you ask, does this agree with the Bible? Second, does it make me more like Jesus? And then third, Does my church family confirm this idea? You see, we need wisdom and counsel and advice of other godly people in our lives to stay on track. That is a design of God's. Is that part of what this church thing is all about? Is that not only do we come together to worship, not only do we come together to praise Him with song, not only do we come together to listen to the Word, but we come together so that we can be a resource for one another. Because that is God's design. We need the wisdom and the counsel and the advice of other godly people in our lives to stay on track. God never meant for you to go through life as a lone ranger. Maybe you want to write that down. God did not intend for us to go through life as a lone ranger. That's why He created the church family, because we need each other. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody has it all together. Nobody knows the right decision every time. Nobody. Not me, not you, not anybody else. That's why we need a church family. We need spiritually mature friends to bounce ideas off and get feedback from and to test whether this that I'm sensing is from God truly is from God. Let me give you an example. This church is a direct result of wise, mature people getting together and praying and seeking to discern along with me whether this thing should even be launched. When I sensed that God was leading, and when Chris and I together sensed that this is what God was leading us to do, is to begin a church. Now, we could have just gone ahead with full steam ahead, but what we did is we gathered together godly people to say, would you pray with us about this? This is what we sense. Is this what you are sensing? And it wasn't just an evening. It was over a long period of time. We need the wise counsel of others as we motivate through this life. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says this, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Notice that it says, through the church. God shares His wisdom with His body, with His family, with His flock, with all of us in general. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, if God has genuinely spoken to you, you've got an idea, an impression of God, if it's really from God, then other mature believers will confirm it. They'll say, you're right. You did hear from God. I sense the same thing. If they do not confirm it, you have every reason to doubt whether it's really from God or not. If you ask other people, other Christians who are mature, who've been Christians longer than you, believers, and you have shared with them the impression that you are getting from God, then you should listen to their advice. God wants us to learn from each other, to share with each other, to get the wise counsel of each other. We all need each other's counsel. Does that make sense? If you get an idea that no mature Christian confirms, then in all likelihood, guess what? You were wrong. If you can't find a mature believer that has sought to walk with God, seeks His will, and you can't find one that confirms the leading, the guiding, the impression that you're getting from God, then you're wrong, because God speaks to His body, not just to us as individuals. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Now, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say the wisdom of your buddies, of your best friends, because they're going to kiss up to you and tell you just what you want to hear anyway. It says the wisdom of the righteous. In other words, people who have been walking with God longer than you. They're not perfect. There are no perfect people in the world. Write that down if you don't know that. But there are people who are seeking to grow, making an effort to grow. They've walked with Him over years. They have some wisdom built up. It says the wisdom of the righteous, getting advice from them, can save you. Save you what? Well, let me just list a few things. Can save you time, can save you money, can save you energy, can save you from failure, can save you from danger, can save you from embarrassment. Need I go on? It can save you. And that's one of the things that God has built into the system. I've experienced that through my life, been saved from some real dumb things by those that are wiser than me. I've been a pastor for many years, and I've concluded that the two reasons that most people mess up, that we mess up, is that number one, people have no spiritually mature friends, and two, they don't listen to them if they do have them. The two invitations for disaster, that you don't have any wise, mature friends that you can gain counsel from, or secondly, when they do give you counsel, you just don't listen to it. Proverbs 11:14 says this, with many counselors, there is safety. If you want to make fewer mistakes in life, get all the godly, mature advice you can and then follow it. It says, in the multitude of counselors, get as much advice you can from godly Christians. That's one of the tests. Does my church family confirm that this leading that I'm sensing is truly of God? Test number three. Test number four is one that I like too. Is the focus about me? Is the focus about my responsibility? If it's not your responsibility, then why in the world is God talking to you about it? I mean, that's a pretty good question. If this isn't about you, it has nothing to do with you, then why is God talking to you? The Bible's pretty clear that we're not to go around judging other people, worrying about other people, being other people's Holy Spirit, I like to call it. When you listen for God's voice, how about you listen for God's voice for you? This is a pretty important one. When God speaks, it's going to be relevant to your life and not somebody else's. Don't try to listen for God what he wants to say to your husband or what he wants to say to your wife or what he wants to say to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or anybody else. Listen for yourself for the things that you are responsible for, because that's what God is going to talk to you about. When you sense that you hear a message for your spouse, write down manipulation. That's me talking to myself. That's wishful thinking. Honey, God spoke to me today about you. What? Is God a gossip? Is that what he is? He's talking about me to you? No, God doesn't do that. He talks to you about your responsibility. You know, actually, it's kind of presumptuous when we assume that we know what God's will is for somebody else's life. You don't know what God's will is for somebody else's life. Most of the time, you don't even know what God's will is for your life, let alone God giving you the responsibility to know what is God's will for somebody else's life. Why in the world, then, would we judge somebody else? Romans 14 says this. I love this. It says, who are you to condemn God's servants? And we're all God's servants. You know that. They are responsible to the Lord, so let him tell them whether they are right or wrong. The Lord's power will help them do as they should. What it's saying here is, you focus on your responsibility. Don't worry about what God's doing in other people's lives. The phrase, God told me to tell you, makes me shudder. And I have had folks, God told me, Pastor, to tell you. La, 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 la. Because I know what's coming ain't good. Because God's kind of a vengeful, hateful God when it's coming through somebody else. Has that tendency. God is pretty judgmental when he's speaking to somebody else. That's because God isn't. God will speak to me about my responsibility, you about your responsibility. God told me to tell you that you're going to get well. Well, why won't God tell me that? God told me to tell you what you ought to do with your life. Why won't he tell me that? And the one that I really love is, God told me to tell you your secret sin. As if I don't already know. You know, and if I know, and if God knows, why is God telling you? God is not a gossip. God says, focus on your responsibility. Every believer has a direct line to God, And God will speak to you what he needs to speak to you. He will speak to me about what he needs to speak to me. Now, does God ever speak to other people through you? Well, the answer is absolutely. But here's the key. He usually does it when you don't know it. Think about that. God speaks through other people to me, but when they do, they don't have a clue that they're speaking on behalf of God. There are times when I have said something to someone and later they say, you know what, I was praying about that very issue and this statement that you made to me was the same as God just shouting to me and I didn't have a clue. That's the way God works. When God uses you to speak to me, you usually don't have a clue that you're speaking on behalf of God. When I speak into your life and God is speaking through me to you, I don't have a clue that God is doing that because he's in charge. I'm not. If God speaks to you about somebody else, it'll normally be a confirmation of what he's already said to them. And that's a wonderful working of the Holy Spirit in the way that he speaks to us. Test number four. Is it about my responsibility? Number five, do I sense God's peace about it? If you get an impression, if you get a leading, if you get some guidance, and it makes you feel pressured, it makes you feel overwhelmed, it makes you feel confused, it makes you feel burdened, then you ought to really question whether that impression, that leading, that guidance is from God. Because God wants us to sense his peace and to not live under pressure. Now, there's a word that we use for pressure that comes into our lives and drives us away from God's peace. We're all familiar with that word. Do you know what that word is? Worry. Worry. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Worry. The Bible talks about the difference between our worries and God's peace in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. If you haven't memorized this verse, you really should. This is a lifeline for me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Peace. God desires that we would live in peace and that he would give us that as we present all of our stress, all of our worries, all of our needs to him. The result is when we do that, then peace floods our lives. It's an incredible promise. Just take it to him and listen to his voice and he will bring peace if I only obey it. In fact, one of the clearest signs of impressions from God is when all of a sudden you sense peace, God's peace, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a difficulty in life. But you sense God's peace. Now there it is. Five ways to test an impression from God, and they work. I've been using them for many, many years, and at certain times I've ignored them, and it's not been pretty. But they are the tests. Once we lay before God our need, once we sense direction, once we sense an impression, once we sense guidance, then to apply these tests to confirm that it indeed is inspiration and it's not temptation and it's not manipulation. Let's go through them again. Look at your notes. Number one, does it agree with... Okay, this is audience participation. We'll do it again. Because you're not used to that, I understand. And this is a place of grace. Does it agree with? Number two, does it make me more like?
Jesus.
Number three, does my
church
confirm it? Number four, is the focus about
me?
And number five, do I sense God's peace? If you use those filters, then you'll know whether you're hearing from God or not and what a difference it'll make in your life. Walking with God through every part of your life. Asking him to lead you, to direct you, to speak to you. And then discerning his voice and and following it and living in abundance. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. That's his desire for us, is that our lives would be full and rich. He's the author of life and knows how that happens. We need to fall into his arms and say, Lord, lead me, speak to me, guide me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace that not only comes to us in acceptance, in undeserved love, but, Lord, there is a daily grace that you give to us. For you desire to take us by the hands and to walk with us through every phase of our lives. You desire to guide us and to lead us, whether that be in the choice of a spouse, whether that be in a choice of a career or a school, whether that be in a choice of a job or a change in job, whether that be in how to navigate difficult relationships, problematic situations, whether it be how to deal with children, how to raise them, how to love them, how to guide them, how to deal with difficult, challenging situations. Lord, no matter what it is, you desire to lead us. You desire for us not to worry about it, but to lay it at your feet, to pray about everything, and then to follow your leading, to listen to your voice and follow your leading. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you desire to be a part of our lives. Thank you that we're not in this alone. Even though sometimes we feel like it, we are not alone, for you are there with us. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us. Help us to, first of all, communicate with you. Help us to exploit this tremendous resource. Help us to deepen our relationship with you. And Lord, that's the pivotal point of being able to hear from you, is that we need to know you and to love you and to be in relationship with you. And so, Lord, if for whatever reason we are far away from you, I just pray, Lord, that we would be able to say, come into my life, Lord Jesus, and reside with me, this guiding, leading that is talked about today. I desire to experience that. So come, Lord, be a part of each one of our lives and lead us. And then may we have the wisdom to apply these tests to know that what we sense is truly of you. Lord, ferret out what is temptation and what is manipulation from our lives. Wipe it away so that we might live in inspiration, experiencing the fullness of life that you came and gave your life for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for speaking through your word today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.